sort out the fact that our two Gospels in the last two, our Gospels in the last 2 weeks have been about sowing seeds. And as we continue with our looking into the spiritual influence of the Ten Commandments on the lessons of the Gospels, I thought that it was pretty interesting that image was so important that Matthew kind of did it two different ways, warning us that it's important to be grounded in God. So good morning, church. And good morning to you, God. So we're going to attempt, or I'm going to attempt, to continue with the idea of living into the commandments and experiencing them as reflected in the lectionary gospels. And please remember that this is not an academic or theological discussion. This is just an invitation to kind of to put together the essence of the Ten Commandments with the essence of the gospel. Now, I have to tell you that I'm kind of surprised at how, not difficult, but complicated this has been for me. I figured, you know, oh, this is a Holy Spirit thing, and the lectionary is just going to support everything I have been thinking about and have to say. Well, no such luck. So it's been a really interesting journey for me, and I hope that you'll join me on it, and hopefully we'll make it to number 10. So then God spoke all these words. The second commandment is this: you shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. So in kind of I kind of have an outline of what I'm doing, and if it makes sense to you, great. If it doesn't, that's okay, because it makes sense to me. So one of the things that I'm focusing on, and this isn't original, this isn't my idea, is taking the commandment and kind of what I call flipping it, or what the source called flipping it, and rephrase the words from being a prohibition, thou shalt not, to maybe thinking of it as an opportunity. In that, what those God is saying that you shall not do, what is the opportunity for us in that? What is God inviting us to do or to value? And why on earth do we feel the need to shape God into our image of God? Why do we want to redefine who we want God to be, rather than find solace in who God is? Bear in mind, I have answers to none of these questions, but they're questions to consider, or for me to consider. They say that when you write your sermon, you're actually writing it to yourself. So I invite you into that. So as we continue with the idea that we have to put God first, as we talked about last week with the first commandment, I'm asking the question, where can we find the message of loving everyone in these words? These are some harsh words that Jesus pronounces. That throwing into the fire, I could hardly even read, gnashing of teeth. It's a frightening image, and it's not one that matches my idea of who God is. Now, I could go down the rabbit hole of saying, well, this is this and this is that, but that's not where I'm going, or where I hope you'll go with me. Ask the question again. What about God? How will God protect us? And the temptation for me is to get stuck in the idea of all the causes of sin and all the evil doers that will be tossed in a fire. And I have a few candidates. how can we, without trying to reinterpret the scripture, find the loving, forgiving God that we cherish in these words? So let's look at the gospel a little bit and ask the question, what are your idols? What are my idols? When I read that word, the first thought that comes to my mind are people that we hero worship. The Norwegian soccer player, I can never remember his name, but the big Viking guy. More people named, more kids named after him being born than any person ever. And they all want to grow up to be famous soccer players and buy a stuffed raccoon before they leave the country. Well, what are the possessions that we can't let go of? Why do we desire to be, if we do, to be successful, to be admired? So, as I think about the number of times that I've downsized and then, upsized again and downsized again, I wonder why it is there just certain things I can't let go of. What are the possessions that I love so much that I wouldn't trade them in for a blessing? As I said, this is a work in progress for me. So now we get into a little bit more trouble with our parable, where I think it's really interesting that in the body of the parable, what Jesus is teaching, that he makes it clear that the weeds are gonna be there, and if we try and get rid of them, it's gonna kill the wheat as well. So we need to wait until the harvest. And doesn't that kind of remind you about what's going on in the world today? I hear complaint about how crazy the world is, how crazy politics all over the world is. What's Jesus doing? Why isn't God doing something about it? So we have to wait. We have to wait for the harvest to find some of those things out. I definitely hear these words in the context of what is happening in the world today. So as is in the case of the first commandment, we hear the idea that God will protect us. He will protect us if we stay focused on the sovereignty of God, a God who gathers the wheat into his barn. We are the wheat. He is the God who takes us under his wings like a mother hen and protects us. I also think it's interesting that the words, let anyone who with ears listen, slightly different, is at the end of both of these parables. We need to listen. What are we listening for? What am I listening for? Am I listening for that little angel on my shoulder to tell me what to do next, or that little devil on my shoulder that tells me what would be fun to do that I shouldn't do? We need to trust God. When we listen to God and what God has to tell us, it's important that we get focused. We are focused because instead of focusing on all those weeds out there, and man, there's a ton of them, there's a whole mountain of them over there. When we focus on the weeds and we worry about the weeds and how we can fix the weeds, we put ourselves before God and we become idols unto ourselves in a way. We lose sight of how God gathers us, like I say, under his wings, like a mother hen. I love that image. We are gatherers for God. Rather than dismiss the weeds as evil, we're even called to transform those weeds and invite them to listen, invite them to come into the barn. When we put idols in front of anything that we that we know God wants from us, when we put something besides God first in our lives, it erodes the trust that God has for us and that God asks from us. Remember, Yahweh means the one who is. God is one source of all, reality, and the one who is so above and beyond our imagining. Amen.